Okay, good morning, everybody. The children can go to your Sunday school class upstairs and the nursery kids, okay? And welcome this morning. Does this morning seem a little different? Because it's special. We sent a whole bunch of people on the mission field, and we realized that we can see it's like it works wonders on the field and here. So, announcements for this morning is tonight's service, video service, what we watch live, is cancelled. It won't happen this week. And but the Koramangala service is happening in the evening, so you can join in, connect live, or check with the team there. Okay, and tomorrow morning, Bible College class is on 7 a.m. ABD, and then after that, the other classes. So, even if you are on a mission field, you'll have to like take a quick flight back home and be here, okay? So, okay, anyone here for the very first time, could you raise your hand? I don't see a familiar. Oh, all of you are very familiar, so, okay. So, for the message this morning, from Psalm, let us turn to Psalm 86, and we'll read a few verses. Hey, and let's pray and ask God to give us a great morning. Yeah, okay. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the grace we have to gather like this and worship, call out your name, and wait with expectation to hear from you. We pray that you would bless the messages to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, from verse 1, I'll read the first 12 verses. Okay. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O you are my God, save your servant that trusts in you. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto you daily. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good. Okay. For a message, let's just pay attention to that word good. And then I'll continue. And ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto you, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you. Oh, how amazing would that day be when all nations would come before God and worship Him and glorify His name. Verse 10, for you are great. The second word I wanted us to pay attention is this word great, okay? And you do wondrous things. You are God alone. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Okay, so this is a great psalm, and the two words, God is good, and then the other one in verse 10, God is great. Okay? It is important for us to consider that both the words good and great cannot be separated from God. He is both. Okay? For example, almost every religious person that you will find in any faith or anything outside, they believe or they want to believe that God is good. Okay? And they do their religious exercise, go pray or do something, go to a pilgrimage. For what? That God would be favorable, that God would be good. Okay? This morning, you and I are here also to consider the fact that God is good, but also the fact that God is great. Okay? It takes a relationship with God to realize both. Okay? And we snap out of a religious exercise and we realize that first issue is that God is great. And how is it that He is great? So we can say God has done great things in creation, right? You have a look at creation, plant life, animal life, National Geographic. You see a nice program and you are like, wow. You take a trip. Or you look at some leaf, very simple. There's so much science in it. There's so much information that cannot be explained. And we say that this is a great work of God, creation. It cannot be explained without Him. But the question is, God is great, but how is God good? So the greatness of God means the general act of God, the things that He does, His work, okay, and who He is. But the goodness of God means that He is being personal with me. Okay, that greatness is being applied to me, and then I say God is good. Okay, so God made you and me, God created us. How about salvation? By grace, Christ died on the cross, taking upon the sins of the whole world upon Himself. It is the great act of God, the great work of God. How is it good? It became good when I heard the gospel, when you heard it and you believed it in your heart. Very simple. I have now to this, just the second part is this. Is there ever a time when God stops being good to you? Is there ever a time God can stop being good? If you fall in a religious system, the fear is that God can stop being good. But if you know Him through a relationship, you realize that God is good because of who He is, not because of how much you or I are able to please Him. Okay? And then comes that word, because of that grace, five-letter word. So, grace is to realize how great God is, and to simply receive how good God is. Keep receiving it personally in your life. Okay? So what's the problem if God is great and God is good? What's the issue? So one is that, but the other problem is this. We may or we may not like that God is good to others also. This is the great Christian problem. So when that happens, there is a big question. So you can take many examples through scriptures and have fun studying about that. Can think of Jonah. He knew the greatness of God, but when he realized that God was going to be good to an enemy, that was their limit. That's it. It can't happen. So there are several examples like that. This is the Christian problem. Is we first see how great God is, and then we live life according to our own moral standards. Okay? And then we stop receiving the goodness of God. Okay? But what is the solution? What is the solution from the Word of God for that problem? It was in that psalm that we read, okay? Verse 11 of that same psalm. Let's just read that again and we'll close, okay? Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Okay? Pay attention to those words, unite my heart. And the psalmist is just saying that there is like a fragmentation inside, deep within, in this, we can say in the spirit or in the heart, the person is in pieces and he is unable to think properly. He is unable to receive God's thoughts or think with God's thoughts. And the psalmist is, often we are in this place. Whenever God checks us and shows that, hey, how is it that I cannot accept that God can be good to someone else? Then I realize and I can pray like this, unite my heart to fear your name. So what happens if God does this? He's able to show us that we can live with thanksgiving. Like, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, pray without ceasing and then give thanks, like for everything, not for some things, for everything. Then James says, when you fall into diverse problems, temptations, count it all joy. How can you have joy and thanksgiving regardless of the situation? It means you're looking at the greatness of God and you're receiving the goodness of God. And that is what God does. Okay, uniting the heart means you have a single eye, you have a single-minded purpose before God, and you're able to think with His thoughts. Okay? That was the thought. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. We pray for the message to follow. We pray for the offering. We think of the conference in Coimbatore, the labors of Pastor Guru and the team, and his family. We pray that you would answer the desires of their heart and bless their fellowship this morning. And we bless this offering, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Okay, good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of God today, isn't it? Wasn't that a great introductory message? Yes? You are permitted to smile. Okay. Now, two things can happen. If all the ones who are going to Coimbatore receive a missionary call, this would happen. Or this is another type, if some of us were unsaved and some were saved and the rapture. I'm just joking, yeah? So today, we're going to have I have a conceptual message, so you have to participate in the message. James, let's turn to James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 1 to verse 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. One more verse, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we pray you would speak to us today and minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I'm going to speak about the tongue, our tongue, and we are going to do an interesting thing today. For those of us who can stand, please stand. And you have to participate, okay? Now, whoever is your closest neighbor, you have to communicate something without speaking, without opening your mouth. You have to communicate something, and the neighbor should be able to understand it, and the neighbor should communicate something to you, and he should be able to understand it. And then we will discuss it. Come on. Without opening your mouth. Yeah. That's incredible. Is that good? Yeah? Okay. So can you tell me, Sharon, what you told your brother? What did you tell your mom? Okay, what did your mom say? She didn't say anything. Okay. What did you say to him? All well? What did he say? It's great. Auntie and Rachel? I love her. Okay. So, this is an important thought today as you are standing, because I want us to understand. So what does this reveal? this reveals that the tongue is just a medium of communication, correct? There are other ways to communicate, through a handshake, through writing, correct? So the problem is not in the tongue. That's the good news this morning. The problem is not in the tongue. You can be seated. Okay? Yeah? I've been teaching the book of James in the Bible school, and two Sundays back I spoke about the Christian life is made up of three things: thoughts, words, and deeds. And that Sunday I spoke about the thought life, how we think, right? And today I come to the second part, our words or our speech or the way we speak. When our children back answer us, when our children use a bad word, we say, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't back answer to your daddy or mommy, or you shouldn't say a bad word. And that is right. But they are unable to do so because we are not going to the root of it. Because the root of it is not in the tongue. So though we read James chapter 3, and James is a practical book, and he's talking about the tongue, but it looks very negative as we read it, but we will end the message on a positive note. So we will see here in verse 2 it says, and we will go through the verses, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body." Now for us to reach this level, we'll have to keep silence forever, like the Buddhist monks, right? Then, verse 3, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Now, this word bits is not pieces of grass or something to eat, but it is the part of the thing, it is a part of the thing which is in the horse's mouth. It's like a steel thing which he bites like that, right? From here into the reins, right? So when the rider pulls the reins, he feels it on his tongue, right? But the horse is a huge animal, powerful animal. But just through the signals on the mouth, the horse will trot, the horse will gallop, right? Right, a small thing controls the whole horse's body. Right, the next example is a ship. If you've seen a big ship, there's a small rudder, right? Small, very small. And that, based upon the angle of the rudder, the ship will change the course of the whole ship. Then it is saying, James is saying in verse 5, "So the tongue," what? "The tongue." Can you see my tongue? See my whole body? Small piece, right? "Is a little member, but it boasts great things," right? "How great a forest a little fire kindles." And then it says the tongue is a fire in verse 6. And in verse 7, "Every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature and the sea is tamed, but no man can tame the tongue." Can you imagine that? We have tamed the elephant. We've tamed the topmost python, this, that, but no man can tame the tongue, right? Right? "It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father." So that's what we exactly did in the worship today. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when we go back home and the food is not ready, with it we curse men who've been made in the similitude of God. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be." Right? So he's saying that. This aspect of the tongue. Now when you look at the subject of the tongue and how we speak, and James is putting it in a negative context and he says we shouldn't do it. But basically, what is the tongue? Or why do we speak badly? if we speak badly, or if we speak in an edifying way, why do we do so? It has nothing to do with our tongue. It has everything to do with where it is coming from. Correct? Now, when you hug somebody and say, without saying it, I love you, where is it coming from? It's coming from our heart. Correct? It is coming from our heart. If I'm angry with you and I shout, where is it coming from? It's coming from our heart. So, how we have to understand the tongue is working backwards. So you see something here and you have to work backwards. So this is called the cosmological argument in theology. Cosmos means the world. And the cosmological argument is the argument for the existence of God. And what is that argument? You see things which are made. And by looking at the trees and the seasons and the rain and the sun, you have to work backwards. There is an effect. What has caused, there is a cause which has caused this effect. So if there is a cause which has caused this effect, what is that cause? So you have to say it can be eternal matter, it can be eternal chance, or there has to be an eternal God. And if you say eternal matter, non-living cannot produce living. If you have to say eternal chance, you have to say it will take a lot of statistics to believe that everything can come through the Big Bang theory. So we must conclude that it is an eternal God with intelligence who has made it. Are you understanding? That is what the cosmological argument. So working from effect back to cause. So I'm going to use that just as an illustration. For our tongue, I'm saying something. Suppose I'm saying, I love you all. Or I'm saying, I don't like you all. Okay? Two contrary statements. So, based upon what I say, you have to work backwards. Where is it coming from? So, if I'm saying something, it is coming from my heart. Where is it coming from my heart? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34, this is the verse. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Are you understanding? So now you have to understand the context in Matthew 12. Jesus has cast out the demons. And they are accusing him, the Pharisees are accusing him, that he casts out the demons by the prince of demons. Correct? And that's blasphemy. And he says, how can you be evil? Speak what? Good things. Where is the evil? In their heart. Then he is saying, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. That's great news for us this morning. So the problem is not with the tongue. Where is the problem? In the heart. The tongue is just a reflection of what is going on in the heart. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So now Jesus is talking about this connection between the heart and the words, or between the heart and the tongue. So whatever I am speaking is a reflection of what is going on in my heart. And if in my heart everything is good, then what will I say? I love you. If everything is evil, what will I say? I don't love you. If everything is good, you are awesome. If it's not good, you are not so awesome. Are you understanding? It's a condition of the heart, right? So when we look at the subject of the heart is a term used in the Bible. It can be used for two things. One is the physical heart, the physical organ which pumps blood and keeps us running. And when a person, individual, gets a heart attack, the person physically dies, correct? That's the physical organ. But there is also the spiritual aspect of the heart, where the heart is used as a comprehensive term for my thought life, for my words, and for my actions. And it is also a place where I think, it's a place where I feel, it's a place where I decide, and it's also a place where I could be convicted in my conscience, right? So it's like a comprehensive term, the heart, right? So the whole issue is, what is going on in my heart, right? I'll give you an example. In the book of Ruth, Naomi goes somewhere, loses her husband, loses her two sons. She comes back. There's excitement in the land. Hey, Naomi is back. What is he saying? Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. So what was the confession? The confession of her mouth was, what was she thinking and meditating in her heart? And what was she thinking? Okay, God has not been good to me. This happened to us. I lost everything and I'm upset about it. And now how can you call me pleasant? Call me what? Mara. Are you understanding? Right? So this is very important about the heart. And the other thing we have to also keep in mind is not only what we think, but where my affection is. Because in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, the people draw near with their lips, but their heart is far away, keeping the commandments of men. So it is possible, as we are in the church, we could sing to God and say the right words, but our heart could be far away because my affection is not on God. Are we understanding? So what is the tongue working backwards? It is reflecting what is happening in my heart. What is coming out of the heart, you can work backwards, is based on the kind of treasure that is in it. It can be a good treasure or it can be an evil treasure. Correct? Now, let's go backwards. For me to have the good treasure is my relationship with God and the Bible. For me to have an evil treasure, it is just about I, me, myself. Right? So sometimes as Christians, like he beautifully said, we are living in the I, me, myself. And what I mean by that is, we are not immoral. We are not doing anything illegal. We are not speaking against anybody. But it is about my life. This is the way I want my life. This is the plan I have made for myself. And this is the way I want to live. But it has nothing to do with God's will. It is what? My will. And based upon that, so I make a plan for my life and I'm pursuing the plan. Then we look at the treasure. The plan is not going well. There are all kinds of things. So anxiety builds up. Anxiety builds up. I meet somebody. What do I speak? I get angry. I shout. Where is that coming from? The tongue is coming from the heart. The heart is coming from the treasure. The treasure is coming from which two sources? Is it God or is it me, my flesh, Satan, and the world system? It's very simple. Right? So if you want to change your conversation, what must you change? You have to change your source. You have to change your orientation from self to God. Now we will talk about God's tongue. How does God speak? Does God have fire in his tongue? Does God have vengeance in his tongue? Does God have iniquity in his tongue? How does God speak? Does God say, I love you today, and tomorrow he says, I don't love you? Does God say, I saved you yesterday, but today I changed my mind? Right? Will undo you? No. God speaks in a consistent way because he's not a man like us. He doesn't have to be double-minded in James 1:8. He is consistent. He has integrity. He is whole. And that is why it is so very important. What is really very important as a Christian is our personal relationship with the living God. That's important. We may run to work, we may run to this, we may run to that, and a million other things, and totally ignore this personal relationship with the living God. Ignore it and never read the Bible. And therefore, our conversations are reflecting what is going on in our heart. I am anxious. We all feel anxiety. I am fearful. What will happen in the future? Right? All these confessions, where is it coming from? It's coming from the source. Right? And that is so important today. That is so important today. You know, as we are here today, I've been thinking about this. That's why this is a conceptual message. We taught 4 classes on this. This whole month I've been thinking. So what we speak is reflecting the heart. You know, when a wife nags her husband, what is she thinking? All the men, married men. And it doesn't mean that men don't nag. We nag too. She is thinking that if I tell him a million times, it'll get done. But that's not how it works. You have to just sit your husband down once and say, honey, this is what it is, and please do it. And that's the end of it. And if he gets it, he gets it. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. It's as simple as that. Are we understanding? This is very, very important. And the greatest damage in church happens where? Through the tongue. We are not doing, actions which are detrimental, but we use words which are detrimental, and that is showing where we are deriving our source from, where we are deriving our source from. So this is very important for us to understand, very important. Now, let's turn to Ephesians 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, the unsaved, they have a blind heart. They can't see, right? Who past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If you have heard him, you have been taught by him as the truth in his Christ. Verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, this is the personal cross. Every morning when you get up, you and I will want to say this to ourselves and to the atmosphere around us. I am Anil Sarav. This is who I am, and this is how I'm going to speak, and this is how I'm going to behave. And the Holy Spirit will say, you are wrong. You are not Anil Sarav. Yes, you are Anil Sarav, but you are a new creation. Put that old man to death. Put on the new man. Go sit at the table, read your Bible, and get your mind renewed. And now, Be a child of God. That's it. And when we renew our minds and our affection is on God, this is what happens. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 25. See, we don't lie to one another. We don't lie. If you promise something to somebody, you mean it. Others don't say it. It's as simple as that. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. We don't get angry. Verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. Verse 28. Let him who steals no more. That's an action. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. This is what happens. What happens? I go backwards. I go to God. I look to Him. The Lord ministers to us in the personal relationship. The Lord speaks to us. He, when we read His word, He talks to us. He convicts us. He corrects us. I say, yes, Lord, that's wrong. I'm thinking wrong. I want to think like the way you think. My affection is on you. I start worshiping. I start praising. I start thanking. What happens? There's a switch. I'm in the new. Now I'm in the new. I'm edified. I'm built up. I can't say the wrong thing. Therefore, like He beautifully said, we start now what? Thanking God. We start what? Praising God. We start what? Worshipping God. If somebody has a difficulty, we have, hey, don't worry about it. We'll pray about it and believe that God can solve your difficulty. Can we say that? Amen. Has God answered prayers? Yeah, yes, that's what we do. We start encouraging one another. We start loving one another with our words. And what happens? Everything changes. Right? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit thereof. It's in my tongue. That's what James is saying. Right? Can a freshwater spring also give salt water? Has anybody tried to drink sea water? I was in Goa, we've tried it at the beach. Just one sip. It's repulsive. Right? Too much of salt. So when I am in the new, then only what is of God will come out of my mouth. Are we understanding? Praises, worship, thanksgiving, encouragement, confessions of faith. Right? Right? And that produces what? Life. So I want to end this message on a good note. The tongue is a neutral thing, correct? It's a neutral thing. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. To use it for bad, don't do anything. Automatic, default connection is there. But to be spiritual, there is a process involved. And then when you use it for good, it can bring life. Can you imagine? I said this on Wednesday in Acts 10. When Cornelius saw the vision, God could have used the angel to share the gospel with him, but he didn't. He says, no, you call Peter, Peter will tell you. It was a big process. Why? God desires that we would share the gospel. Sinners saved by grace will share the gospel, and the other people who listen will get saved through what we speak. That's incredible. That's an incredible privilege. And that 2-minute conversation you have or 5-minute conversation can seal the destiny of a person for eternity. That's incredible. So the tongue can be used to share the gospel. The tongue can be used to pray. To pray for other people in a prayer meeting or in your home. The tongue can be used to encourage, to say kind words, to build faith, right? To teach. Now, aren't we all here because of Pastor Brian who taught us our understanding? To preach, right? To disciple. The tongue can be used for, in so many beautiful ways, to sing songs of praise unto God, right? And that is what we can do today. So, in conclusion today, right? If your New Year's resolution was, I should stop saying bad words and getting angry this year, you can stop, but the tongue is not going to listen. You have to come back here, right here. Where's my source from? And if my source is God, and His word, then His treasure will come into my heart. And out of the good treasure of your heart, you will speak words. The words will have what? Life. And it will produce life in you and life in others. Last thought today. In my opinion, this is purely my opinion. Many years of observation, talking to people, most sickness is psychosomatic. You're thinking wrong. Because you're thinking wrong, either you're worrying, you're anxious, negative thoughts or whatever, criticism, you're thinking wrong. It affects our body. Right? And it's for all of us. Right? And the thought life has to be replaced with God's thoughts. You have to start thinking right. Like He beautifully said, the grace that I am receiving is also the grace that another person can receive from God. Is also the grace that I can extend to that person. And when the thinking goes right, even if you're physically not well, you can overcome the body. Right? Yeah? Right? Because why? Because God is with us. And the life of God is in us today. So let's be joyful today. Let's be encouraged that we can have a silver tongue, we can have a loving tongue, we can have a beautiful mouth, right? Not based upon the lipstick we put, okay? But we can have a beautiful mouth, to the women I'm saying. It's based upon the words we speak. The words are coming from the heart is coming from the treasure is coming from the source, right? And if the source is God and His word, the words are beautiful. That is why it is so beautiful and it is so encouraging and it is so inspiring to be a Christian today. Because we are saved by grace. Right? And His grace is working in us. And in Hebrews 13, the Bible says, it's good for your heart to be saturated with grace. And when the heart is saturated with grace and the mind is saturated with grace, then the words which come out are also what? Gracious words. Amen? Yeah? It's not wrong to feel sorrow. It's not wrong to feel down. It's not wrong to be sick and all the n number of things. It's not wrong to go through things. But we can't be there our whole life. That's the point I'm trying to make. And that's what the Bible is saying. You can't be there your whole life. There is a time to go through it, but then there is a time to go to God and receive His love, His grace, and get out of it. And to move on. Amen? So today, we are a different set of people. Don't rush out of the door. You can if you want to. But, you know, wait for 5 minutes. Talk to one another. Say a kind word to one another. Say a prayer for one another. It's good to have Bindu in the room today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. Lord, thank You for Your word. Teaching of the scriptures. Pray for Bindu here, for her healing. Pray for Auntie Maggie here, with strength in her physical body. For Uncle Laurie here, my dad here, Auntie Kaushi, Auntie Subhadra here, all our senior people here, Lord. And help us, Lord, in our lives. Help us to be the people You want us to be in our thought life, in our speech and also in our actions. Be with Pastor Benny and the whole Coimbatore church and all our people there. Give them a blessed morning and give us also a blessed time of fellowship now. We praise You, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.